Help! I suck at dating. An iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a whole new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I am Jared.
I'm Vanessa. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode.
Thank you for having us. Dean, unfortunately, is away. I think he's rock climbing, which is pretty awesome. I've always wanted to rock climb ever since I saw Mission Impossible 2. Remember the opening scene, Tom Cruise? It's amazing. So I'm pretty jealous.
I'm the worst at movie references, but yes.
I'm like a walking pop culture reference. Well, we are in studio, and we are joined today by the wonderful Jess Draper. Hello, Jess. Were you getting set up right now? So we'll give you a second
right?
to put your headphones.
Jess E. Draper.
Jess E. Draper.
I'm sitting on my chair. It's really high, and I'm pretty tall.
I know.
How tall are you?
I am 5'10".
Okay, you're my sister's height, which is so weird. So my sister's the oldest in my family. She's 5'10". I'm the middle child. I'm 5'3". And then my brother is the youngest, and he's the smallest out of everyone. So it goes in decreasing order. But I was reading your bio. First of all, I was fangirling over your bio.
Oh, thank you.
So Jess E. Draper is an American talk show host, investor, and former actress, Nickelodeon star?
I know.
I'm so jealous of.
Yeah, which... I know. Show are we talking about?
It was called the Naked Brothers Band, and I played the nanny. It was when I was 19 to 23 or something like that, and it was early days. It was like Miley Cyrus days.
Oh, amazing.
And it was a life that I can't believe. You know, it's like I live such a different life now, but it was so fun. I mean, I had a blast. I was surrounded by kids all the time. I played the nanny, and I actually was the nanny as well, because you're surrounded by kids ages 6 to 10.
So tell us a little about what you're doing right now, Jessie.
So I run a venture capital fund called Halogen Ventures, and we invest in female-founded consumer technology companies. So some of those companies include a company called Sugarfina. It's a great candy company.
I love Sugarfina.
So, me too. That means you like sugar.
I'm Italian. I love anything.
Don't we all?
But is that only an LA-based company?
No, it's actually an international candy company. Okay. They're in hotels, Nordstrom's involved, and so they're all over the place. And we invest in everything from clothing all the way to healthcare. So I have a breast pump company. Really exciting.
Are you a mom?
I am a mom. I just had a baby 3 months ago.
Wow,
and it was
great.
My second. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, very happy welcome. Belated Mother's Day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just Mother's Day. What did you guys do?
I got my mom flowers. I know.
Good job.
I tried.
Very creative.
That's a good son.
Hey, it works every time.
You know
time.
What? It's the thought that counts. I actually had an entire family photo shoot before I came out to LA. So we had my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, cousins. So we did an entire family photo shoot, and that was my gift to all
Did
the
you
women.
Match?
We did. So we wore jeans and a white top, which is basic, but whatever.
It's but at least everyone has it.
It's classic. And yeah, exactly. So I'm super excited that you're here.
I'm excited, you guys.
Thanks
for coming. To meet you, by the way.
Oh, it's wonderful meeting you as well. Thank you for coming in studio.
So we were, I don't know if it was last week or the week before.
It was last week. I missed last week when you guys talked about finances.
You were talking about finances and being in a relationship and when's the right time to bring up money talk, which is not my favorite subject, but just because I'm so frugal and I want to make sure the partner that I'm with understands and appreciates how frugal I am and that they would adopt that mentality if they don't have that mentality.
Has that ever caused issues in your relationship before, being so frugal?
No. I've been made fun of, but...
It's never, caused tension.
No.
Apparently,
I feel like, Jared, your accent
tension.
Is really coming out today.
Is it really? I just can't... Rhode Island last week, so maybe just the accent is rubbing off more so. So I got to get back in LA and really start pronouncing my R's. The thing is, it's sad to say, but it's true. Finances does cause a lot of tension within couples. One person makes more money than the other. One person's frugal. The other one spends so much money. So early on, Jessie, you're a pretty professional person to ask about this. How early on do you think that a couple should start really talking about their finances and how they spend money?
I think, it depends how deep you are into your relationship, but
I go deep way at the beginning.
Good, good.
Yeah, that's the first thing Vanessa says. Hi, my name is Vanessa. I'm frugal. How are you?
First, what I would say is it's something that people shouldn't be afraid to talk about. I think we're all so terrified to talk about money, and it is a really, really huge part of our relationship. So I would say, start discussing it when you are. Well, first of all, let me just one piece of advice. Do not merge finances until you're married, unless there is a reason to. So you might create a joint account if you're paying rent and sharing, something like that, where you each pay an equal amount. And so that's why you would you know, start a joint account, but that doesn't mean you can't start talking about it. You know, Ali Wong, the comedian, do you guys know?
I love her.
She's so funny. But she does this whole sort of piece about how she thought she had made her family so proud and found this guy. Yeah. He graduated from Harvard, and then they got married. Yes. And he was in so much debt. And she was like, wait, I thought all you had to do was like marry someone from Harvard and you were set for life. And then he was in so much debt that they're still clawing their way out of or whatever. And that's sort of the piece. Anyway, I highly recommend her show. It's very funny.
I know. She's hilarious.
But I think that you should always be talking about those things. And, you know, I think a good way to start that conversation would maybe be, you know, say you're saving for something. It's hard to save money when your significant other is spending quite a bit. So maybe you say, hey, I want to save for a new couch for our apartment. What do you want to save for? Or let's save towards a vacation together. And then that's a way where you can start sort of talking about money habits. But also, I think definitely before you take the plunge, you should know what type of debt you guys are both in and what, you know, you're talking about, and come up with a plan. There's also a lot of services that can help with that. There's a company, my friend runs this company called LearnVest. And it
LearnVest.
Yeah. And she wrote a book called Financially Fearless, and it kind of teaches you a very quick, light overview of everything you need to know about finance. But what I love about it is financial advisors are so expensive. And this is like, you pay, my husband and I did it in the beginning when we first got married. You pay like $12 a month, and basically they come up, they do this magic math problem, and they come up with a formula where it's like, based on both your incomes, here's how much you should save every month, here's how much you can blow, and you know, then you also discuss kind of like what you're saving for. And they do things like, this may or may not have come up in our particular conversation, that like, wow, you spend a lot on coffee in your given area of the country, because there are, you know, every area of the country is different. So they actually take that into account on LearnVest. And so I had to cut back a little bit on coffee. So I just made more at home.
You. Yeah, okay. You just called yourself out.
Yeah, I did just call myself out. But I think they take things like that into account. And I thought it was an amazing kind of program to go through in the beginning when you start your marriage.
Yeah, I think it was interesting when you were talking about how you approach the conversation, because there's a lot of people are afraid to ask their partner about like how much money they have. But I think it's interesting if you just go up to them and say, well, instead of asking how much they spend, ask about like, hey, let's start saving for something and see how they spend. Or even like, there's ways to tell how a person is with their money, like whether it's like, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? The places that they pick, or like how much they save towards like a vacation, where they want to go for a vacation.
Totally.
So there's different ways to approach the conversation.
Oh, definitely. And I'm competitive. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super competitive. And so my husband and I were actually giving each other, you know, flack about what stocks we were buying. That's how nerdy I am. And we were each, you know, he was saying, I want to invest in this. And I was saying, I want to invest in this. And so we decided to make it a competition. So what I would say is like, you know, say you each take $100 and then you can invest it in the stock market, which sounds very crazy, but there are apps that make it super easy. You go on like Robinhood, there's one called Acorns, and it literally plugs your bank account in. And if you don't know what types of stocks to invest in, I say if you're kind of a more conservative investor and don't want to take a ton of risk, follow the Fortune 500. Those are typically the companies that you've heard of. And for example, if you love Starbucks, I'm seeing a Starbucks cup and I love Starbucks. That's where I was apparently spending too much money. You know, then you can buy some Starbucks stock. And so you could choose a couple stocks, they can choose a couple stocks, and you can make it a little competition, and it gets the conversation rolling.
Well, I was going to ask you something, Vanessa. Yeah. Actually, having kind of experience of being engaged and then moving in with somebody, did you ever feel like, did you guys talk about your finances early on?
Yeah. I mean, luckily, we were both very frugal, so that made it easy when we were looking for an apartment and how much you want to spend per month and all of that. So when you're talking about joint bank accounts prior to getting married, you don't suggest it. Do you suggest, I don't know if this has any form of relation with that, but prenups?
What's your dreaded prenuptial agreement?
I mean, that's a big question. I think everyone feels very, you know, different about those. And it probably depends a lot upon where you come from and what is important to you. And also, I think your family has. I know I had a really good friend who was going through this whole prenup situation, and her family was really pushing her to do a prenup with her husband. So I think that is a conversation.
To protect her assets?
To protect her assets. But it sounded like it was their assets.
Oh.
So I think if you are about to marry this person, I hope you trust them. But, you know, I mean, they are about to take the dive into your finances as well.
Why do you think finances within a relationship causes so much tension? Because it is. Because it does create tension.
Well, I think it's personal information that you don't want to dish out.
It's so personal.
But you talk about so many personal things on such an emotional level with your counterpart. Like, why can't you talk about finances? Or why is it more difficult, do you think?
I think because, you know, someone is probably making more money than the other person.
I mean,
and
it goes back to being competitive.
Yeah, exactly. True.
Ego-driven, absolutely. And especially as a guy, I think there's a lot of guys that want to be providers. So if they're with a woman that makes more money than them, I think that is a little kill to the ego and creates some insecurities.
Especially in, because in traditional families, you know, typically all of the checkbooking happens in the man's hands. And so they write the checks and the women take care of the family. That's a traditional family.
Yes.
I personally am really trying to change that.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah,
anymore.
I feel like I'm an empowered
times
woman. Yeah, they're changing. And so what I would say to any women in that situation or who want to be caretakers of the family, you get 50% of that money. And if you're terrified of the word finance and the word money and anything financial and any type of numbers, don't be, because you will learn. What I would say is make sure you're in on any financial decision that your significant other is making or husband is making, because you will learn that way. And before you know it, you'll realize, oh, it's just numbers. It's just like addition and subtraction. And like, you may have opinions that they don't have that they weren't taking into account. And so don't let them make any decisions. That's what my husband and I do. I'm always like, did you just buy Netflix stock without talking to me? Like, we didn't even discuss this.
Well, Jared, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So let's say you have a great relationship with someone that you're dating and it's a perfect relationship. It's going well. You guys are just so compatible. And then you end up having the money talk later on in your relationship, maybe to a point where you're like, oh, is it too late to turn back and you know, like start new with someone else? But because you realize their spending habits is something that you're just not comfortable with. And you realize that maybe it's something that you cannot change within them. What do you do at that point? Do you stick it out and like hope that you can work it through? Because I feel like money's one big issue in relationships and in marriages that causes people to argue and
well, I think you have to have boundaries within your, you know, whatever, how much money you're making, how much money you can spend. And I would hope that the other person can also respect that as well, because if one person is buying thousands of dollars worth of, you know, material objects that you guys can't afford, then that's obviously an issue. That
But would you break up? Like, would it be enough for you to say to end that relationship?
I mean, if she drove me poor and I had to live on the side of the street, yeah, I'd break up with her. But no, of course not. I think, like, especially within financial decisions, it is such a sensitive subject that, like, there are probably a lot of times where you have to actively sit down with your significant other and really kind of have this very difficult conversation and be willing to sit at the table and not move until you guys actually make progress. Because I think a lot of times, you know, whether it be by finances or about anything really in within your relationship, you'll sit down with that person and you'll talk through things, but you won't like really get anywhere. And then you're like, well, we talked about it, but, you know, nothing's really changing. And so I think specifically with finances, if there is an issue or like, you know, if one person is spending more than the other, or if like in that case, if I was dating somebody who was spending so much money and it was really bothering me, I would really need to sit them down and talk through them. And if like they were so stubborn where they're like, I need to just buy things every week that I just can't afford, then that would obviously have to make me really rethink the relationship for the simple fact of like, well, I need to, you know, support myself, save money for hopefully my future children and things that I want to do.
How many kids do you want, Jared?
I've always gone back and forth about this, whether I want kids or not.
What?
I know, but now I want kids. I want kids. And so, you know, I at least two kids. You know,
I'm lucky to have one, I'll be very happy.
That's the thing. Like, you know, obviously having kids is a privilege, not a right. So hopefully I just have at least one kid. that's very healthy.
I think these conversations are not conversations that I was thinking when I was in my younger 20s. You know, you're like, oh, I like this guy. He's good looking, or he's this, he's that. And it's like, oh, we work out together, so it makes sense. And now as I'm getting...
We work out together. We go to the gym together, so it's obviously love.
Listen, I speak three languages, so sometimes I'm thinking in French and it doesn't translate properly when it comes out of my mouth.
Isn't it so funny when you're thinking so quick, but your mouth can't keep up, so it just comes out as gibberish, and you're like, well, I sound like an idiot.
That's why texting sometimes is great. But so now I'm starting to think of all these important topics to have with a significant other. And another one that I was thinking of is domestic partnership. So let's say, because I'm very, not that I'm very technical, but when you're dating someone, I don't know what the laws are out here, but the laws in Quebec are like, I think after, I don't know how many years.
I think it's 5 years.
Okay.
Here, living together?
In California,
you're,
I think, 5 years. Yeah.
Like a married couple. You have, yeah. Like, it falls under the same laws as a married couple, right?
Yeah, because I remember my college roommate and I used to joke about that because we lived together for like 5 years.
Well, that's where I brought it up. My roommate and I were like, oh my God, we have a domestic partnership going on. But so what would you do? So let's say you have a domestic partnership or whatever it is. You're dating someone, you're living together, and you buy furniture for the house. And then you break up. Who takes what? So what I thought was a great idea is if I'm purchasing the couch, keep the receipt for the couch to prove that the couch is mine. And then if the relationship doesn't, I mean, I didn't buy the couch, Jared.
I kind of feel like you're I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure if you're already thinking about how you would defend this couch.
Well, I mean, that's
you bring out this scroll of receipts. You're like, I bought the couch, the microwave, the fridge. This is all mine.
No,
have
you know,
proof.
So we're breaking up.
Well,
here's
this
my
is
binder.
The same topic as a prenup, right? People, I always thought like, oh my God, I would never marry a guy if he would get down on one knee and says, well, we need to get a prenup. The younger me would have been like, oh my God, that's such an insult. But the older me now realizes, okay, I understand why. It's also protecting myself in the end.
Totally.
In case,
totally,
you know, something happens with his assets or if he is in debt and, you know, I don't.
And you've worked hard to get where you are. And so you can protect that. I don't think there's any problem mm-hmm. protecting yourself that way. You just have to have a partner who's understanding of that and who loves you for that.
Totally. And we put such like a premium on finances within this country, you know, capitalism. So it's just, it's such a statement on like power and your social status and in terms of like how much income it is. And so I can totally understand why people want to prenup because it's your money, you've earned it. And so it's such like a gray area though. It's such a sensitive subject because then once you get married, what's yours is mine, baby. So it's such like an interesting dynamic to have. But I truly believe it's also on an individual level and that like each couple needs to have their own conversation about their finances and what's best for them individually and both as a couple.
And I would definitely, you know, if you do find out your significant other is in significant debt, that might be something you should really come up with a plan for before you tie the knot. Mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, we can be engaged for a little while. Let's figure out how we're getting out of debt since this would affect me significantly.
Totally. I think that it's better to have the finance conversation earlier rather than later, just because, like you said, if you are, you know, so many people are in debt today, specifically just from college.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it does create kind of like a hold on your life for a little while in terms of like buying a house, getting married, so on and so forth.
And if you don't believe in marriage, you know, I mean, it's hip these days to like have a kid and like you don't have to be married. But if you've decided this is your long term, this is your long term partner, I think, yeah, definitely all these conversations apply to that, too.
I'm going to sound crazy, but I'm sure a lot of people.
Too late.
No,
no kidding. Oh, come on. That was a layup.
All right.
I just kind of touched it off.
No, so, I'm sure I'm sure a lot of people are probably thinking this. Background checks.
Yeah.
So
what, doing a background
would it be
check,
great. Because so I,
have you done a background check on somebody?
No, I don't even know where to go have a background check done.
That's why,
No,
there's one called InstantCheckmate.com.
Oh God.
Well, listen, I know. Right. I only bring this up because I know
I do
someone.
Do occasional background
wait,
checks.
Wait, you do it on us?
Yeah. Before I came here, I was like, I can't enter the room with these guys until I know exactly what's going
like,
on.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Well, no, because I know someone who, was divorced and was dating someone, but she had a kid mm-hmm. and she didn't want to bring in someone into her personal life and introduce her kid to a stranger if she didn't have a background check done. And I thought that was genius.
Yeah. I get that.
No, Jared is just staring. And
A background check before she went on a first date with him?
No, I think background check once she went on a couple dates with him and was like, okay, I actually like this guy.
All right, that's fair.
Let me take it to the next level.
It also creates like a...
Is that great? Why are you looking at me like that? Is that...
It's just intense.
It's a lot.
It's a lot?
It is. It's pretty heavy.
I mean, I think... Yeah, I do think, especially after the prenup conversation, like maybe just give some breath before.
Oh, no, I'm not saying in that order.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't mind. Yeah, I guess you could see background check. I mean, so many people Google the person that they're about to go on a date
with.
That's
true.
That is like, oh, Jared, now you
sound crazy.
Crazy. Well, hey, listen, I might have looked up, you know, a couple Instagrams in my day before I went on the date with them.
You gotta do your background check.
You got to know what you're walking into.
So exactly.
If you're just ruling out serial killer, I think that's probably okay. But when you get really deep into their life, that can be kind of creepy.
Guys, I was asking for listeners.
Yeah.
For a friend.
So for a friend. Yeah. So my friend really wanted to go on this date and she did a background check and now she's hosting a podcast. No.
But actually you brought up something interesting though, which is kids, and that makes things a lot more complicated. Especially if you have kids previously, et cetera. There's this great app called Support Pay. It's actually a website, but it's like mobile friendly or whatever, but it's Support Pay. And it's kind of similar to LearnVest in that you enter all of the information. Like if you broke up with your significant other, it's like a little calculator for what you each owe and you don't even have to converse.
There you go. That's what I was saying. Keeping the receipts.
Yeah. Keeping the receipts. But I feel like
I agree
you
with Vanessa. I think that's pretty smart.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you. High five.
Yeah, high five.
Agree on something. All right. This is going great.
So Jesse, thank you for coming in. You also have a podcast of yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, I am co-hosting a podcast with Ben Higgins from The Bachelor, who you guys know, I'm sure.
Very well, yeah.
And it's called...
That's what you were saying. Okay.
It's called Lady Bosses and Ben. And so we're talking all about entrepreneurship and we're interviewing some great entrepreneurs and business leaders and it's a lot of fun. And a lot of ladies.
Oh, right. I love it.
It's on iHeart.
It's on iHeart right here. Ben Higgins, also, you know, from the Almost Famous podcast and now has a brand new podcast with you. I'm very much looking forward to hearing that.
Me too.
Where can people find you?
I think the easiest way is if you just follow me on Instagram at Jesse C. Draper and you can see, you know, what all our companies are up to and what companies we support at Halogen.
All right, perfect. Well, Jesse,
thank you for joining.
No, thank you. This was so fun.
Yeah, very informative, very fun.
I'm going to email you a couple of other questions that I have so I don't get judged. But
no, the nut judgment zone. It's just the three of us, Vanessa. That's all. Nobody else is listening.
Yes, I'm happy to answer those.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, guys.
So, do you know I've had insomnia for the last 3 nights?
Yeah, apparently. You know what you need.
What do I need, Jared?
You need some Brooklyn, and that's what you need, Vanessa, because it will create the best night's sleep that you've had in years. Do you know that you spent a third of your life in your sheets? Giggity.
No, I did not, but you were talking about this last time.
That I did. It makes a better sleep with the best sheets. So the most affordable, best sheets, no big markup, brooklinen.com. You can upgrade your nightly routine and help you feel more well-rested every day, Vanessa. Their philosophy, the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, but not Brooklinen. And it's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews, people. I don't know if you know this. Oh, my God. There it is. I was waiting for that bell. This is luxury bedding, if I could speak properly. It's underpriced. You have to try these sheets today, Vanessa. Today, Vanessa. You have to try them today.
Is there a code?
I'm not sure if there's a...
Absolutely. There's a promo code. There's always a promo code in a podcast spot. Isn't there?
Yes, of course. Yeah. They have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code... Oh, God. I can't.
You could do this,
Jared. Pick it up.
Here we go. So they have an exclusive offer. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for our listeners, Vanessa. It's you get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code HELP, H-E-L-P, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. So if you don't like it within 60 nights, you can just bring it back. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code HELP, H-E-L-P, at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code HELP. These are the best sheets you'll ever have.
Ooh, I'm excited to get
Maybe
them.
That's your issue.
Yeah, that's my issue. That's Brooklinen, I'm coming for you.
Do you have $20 a comforter off. Or what do you have?
No, actually, I'm moving back home. So guess what? I'm going to need an entire set of sheets.
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is perfect.
And I just talked about how frugal I was. So $20 off, that's...
Just use our promo code, Vanessa.
Help. H-E-L-P. Love it.
Oh, perfect. No, well, now moving on from sheets into a camp.
Well, actually, you guys might need sheets at your camp, too.
Exactly. So we're moving on to so we have Adam in studio. Adam, how do you say your last name?
Tischauer.
Adam Tischauer, who is the founder and CEO of Camp No Counselors. It's the world's largest and fastest growing sleepaway camp. Not for kids.
Nope.
But for grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
Can you tell us a little bit about this camp, please?
Sure. It's all of those great summer camp memories that you had when you were a kid, except with booze.
Woo, I saw the video.
That sounds pretty awesome.
We saw like people twerking and stuff.
Did
I'm like,
Erica's head whip around when she heard that?
Erica's loving that. So sleepaway camp with alcohol sounds, you know,
yeah.
Fantastic.
So we rent out really high-end, beautiful kids' summer camps in their off-season and bring out about 250 adults each camp weekend. So it's 3 nights, 3.5 days. We have camps all across the U.S. and Canada. And you get to play like a kid during the day. Wakeboarding, water skiing, dodgeball, arts and crafts, zip lining. And then in the evenings, we bring in bands and DJs. And we throw huge theme parties and everyone gets dressed up. So you get to play like a kid and party like a grown-up.
How did you come up with this idea?
I was working a ton in New York City and just needed a break from it all. I needed to get away from my phone, forget about work for a weekend, and reconnect with my friends. And I went to camp growing up and always had the most fun ever at summer camp. Looked forward to it all year long. And I love to throw parties, and I decided to rent out a summer camp and invite my closest friends. And 20 people said, yes, this is a great idea, and they were on board. And the camp told me a few weeks before we went out to camp that we needed a minimum of 35 people in order to have exclusive use of the property. So I asked my 20 friends.
Exclusive, like the entire property?
The entire property. So there wouldn't be any school groups or church groups coming to the weekend at my party weekend.
Yeah. As you're six deep walking past like a class of third graders.
Exactly.
Just not good.
So I had my 20 friends invite their friends, and 90 people signed up.
Holy moly. Wow. 90 people on the first camp?
Yep. So kind of a light bulb went off. I was like, maybe this is more than just a party. Maybe people really need to disconnect from technology, to forget about work, and to just be silly and have fun. And so I decided to go full force forward and do another camp and another camp. And sure enough, we've done 70 camps now.
And now you're up to 13,000 campers.
It's been a crazy roller coaster.
70 camps, 13,000 campers. That's insane.
I know. That's
how long has this been going on for?
4 years now.
So 4 years. So you've done 70 camps over 4 years.
Yeah. And we were on Shark Tank, which was a crazy experience.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That was a nutty experience. That was amazing. Got the word out there.
Did they end up investing in it?
Mark Cuban made an offer, which I ended up turning down.
You turned down Mark Cuban's offer?
What?
I'm sitting next to a guy who turned down Mark Cuban?
What was his offer?
His offer was something like $300,000 for 25% of the business. And I didn't want to give up that much.
Yeah, it's your baby. You're
exactly.
No shared custody. So in the last 4 years, can you say people have met and gotten engaged? And I'm always thinking about the love story.
Definitely. So at camp itself, it is, you kind of regress to being kids again. So like hooking up at camp is like sneaking behind the bunk and, you know, making out or like holding hands on your way to the campfire.
Oh my God, I
so
love
it's really
that.
Cute and simple. And because you are sleeping in cabins in shared,
is it
in shared co-ed? Grouping, co-ed bunks.
Ooh. It's co-ed bunks.
Wait,
co-ed
Jared bunking. Had an important question to ask.
Well, I got a quick question as well before that. Are you going to these camps? So like, obviously the point of these camps is to go have fun as an adult.
Yep.
But is it also a way to like meet people? Do you go as a single person or would you like bring your significant other to this camp?
So,
or you can do both.
Right, you can do both. So right now it's about 50-50 split. So it's about 50% of the people are singles, 50% come with a significant other. Our average age is 30. So so that's kind of where things net out. But we have, this year alone, we've had 4 weddings actually come out of the camp.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, people have already, there's been 4 married couples. They're already married.
Correct.
No. No.
Yeah, they got married
year.
They met at camp in the past 3 or 4 years.
And they
years.
Met at camp.
Yeah.
That's Holy incredible. Moly.
And that's just people who've reached out to me directly. So I'm sure they're
maybe,
but there's lots of relationships come from the weekends. And it's just, you know, again, everyone's online dating now or meeting people at bars. And it's just another unique way to meet people through shared interests where you're not kind of putting people in boxes like, oh, you work in TV or, oh, you're an investment banker. We don't talk about work at camp. You don't have your phones out. It's just shared interests. Oh, we both like dodgeball or arts and crafts, or you're really sweet and nice. You know, we have the same kind of shared interests in common.
So can you walk me through what a day would be like? What time is there like a set schedule? Do you wake up at a specific hour? Do you do like group events together? Are you part of a, I'm guessing you're part, I saw you're part of like a colored.
A color war team.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you compete in different activities. But
He seems so excited. I love that you have so much enthusiasm about this.
It's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun.
This is your baby.
It is. It is. So in general, we have a set schedule with tons of different things to choose from. But it's a choose your own adventure. Like you can literally just lay by the lake.
So if you're hungover, you could wake up at whatever time.
Lay by the lake and drink rosé all day. Or you can do dodgeball, followed by a hike, followed by arts and crafts, then go head first down the slip and slide into a game of flip cup and party all night long on the dance floor. So it's really, you can pick and choose what you want.
Is there a curfew?
No. There's no rules.
Oh, yeah.
There's no rules. It's called Camp No Counselors for a reason. You can do whatever you want. We have two encouragements, though, two hard asks. And the first one is, we encourage you to put away your phone.
I like that one.
So that's the first one.
So technically, it's like you're back on The Bachelor.
I was about to say, this honestly sounds
like The Bachelor.
Kind of like a camp version of paradise.
Yeah.
It really does.
And there's no Wi-Fi or cell service anyways. Mm-hmm. And then we have professional photographers, so they're going to take your new profile picture more so than you capturing it on your phone. And the second hard ask is to not start a conversation with what do you do for a living?
Oh, I like that.
And you can get there if you want, but mm-hmm. we don't start with who are you? What do you do?
And why is that?
People, again, have preconceived notions about what an investment banker uh-huh. is or what someone who uh-huh. is a TV personality is, rather than, you know, finding out, where did you most recently travel? Do you like to cook?
So you get to connect on a deeper level before you get to the superficial talk.
Exactly.
I like that idea.
And typically when you start at a different place, you don't even come mm-hmm. back. You're talking about your passions, and if your work is your passion, then great, you will come back to that. But typically it's, hey, well, we're going over to dodgeball. You want to come with us? And then kind of friendships, romances, whatnot happen.
I'm talking about a walking pop culture reference.
Walking.
Have you ever seen the Vince Vaughn movie, accent. Couples Retreat?
Oh, yeah.
This kind of reminds me of that, where there's like two islands. And have you ever thought about, I don't know if this is something that you guys even think about, but like there's one island. So in Couples Retreat, there's like a retreat island. There's one island for single people and there's one island for couples.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that within the camp where it's like, there are couple-y things to do, and then there's also single things to do? Or is it just kind of like all blended together and everybody's, at the same club all hanging out?
It's all blended together, but we do find that couples choose certain things more so than single people, and single people choose certain things more.
Do the couples just like hang out by the lake all day?
No.
Ah.
I've actually find that most couples have separate interests as far as sports mm-hmm. versus arts mm-hmm. and water sports versus land sports. And so it's really cool to see them come and they eat their meals together, but then besides that, they just go out and have fun and make new friends. And that's what it's really all about.
Friends or like, are they
with the couples?
Swingers. Yeah.
No. So with people are really coming to camp to have fun, disconnect from it all, but really make new, genuine friendships. And so I think that that's kind of cool to see couples. Yes, we start off the day with mimosas and Bloody Marys, and they'll do that together. And then for the activity periods, they'll kind of spread out, do their own thing, and then come back for our lunch barbecues with, beer and wine available. And then kind of in the afternoon and evening, they'll party together.
So I see a wedding ring
yes.
on your finger. Did
yes.
you meet your lovely lady at Camp No Counselors?
I did not. I met her before.
You met her before
camp, but we were just
before
boyfriend.
Before camp. That's amazing.
I know. I love
it. We were boyfriend and girlfriend before, and then we got engaged during camp. And actually, at our wedding, we had 39 people who we met at Camp No Counselors who were
wow.
just friends.
That's amazing.
Friends now. But yeah, she never got to go to camp as a kid, and I went to camp as a
kid.
You
know, I was never big on camp either as a kid. I went once, so I'm like a huge, little mommy's girl. I went when I was 9, and I went to a sleepaway gymnastics camp, really unrelated to the story. And I just cried for the entire four nights that I stayed there, because I was my mom made my bed and I smelled her perfume on my pillow, and I just,
I remember I cried the first day of kindergarten, let alone going away for camp overnight. Now, one of the things that comes to mind is is this just a hooking? It sounds like, and that doesn't sound, it sounds like an awesome idea, but I think there are people out there to be like, oh, this is just a camp for hooking up.
Right.
And what do you say to people that would reference this camp like that?
That hookups do happen. at kids camp hookups happen, and at adult camp
hookups
happen as well. But that's not kind of the intention behind it. We actually have an application process for people who want to come.
Do you do background checks?
And we do social media checks.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
We don't necessarily do background checks, but we do social media checks. And to see if people are coming for the right intentions to meet friends, to have a camp reunion with their own old pals, for a bachelor party, to play and disconnect. Those are the right reasons why we would accept people to come to the camp. And people who just want to, on their application, write, oh, to hook up with chicks, those people don't get admitted to our camp. And so when you have a lot of people coming to the same place with shared interests as well as similar intentions, you usually find that they really connect on a deeper level than just let's hook up.
Yeah, so I was curious to see if there's any type of like vetting process, because that's the first thing I thought of too. If like a single dude was like, I'm just going to go and try to hook up with every girl I could possibly can at camp because we're secluded and that's a perfect area just to like, you know, do that. Right. It's good that you guys do a vetting process to kind of like try to weed out anybody that's just doing it to hook up.
We do. And the other interesting thing is you sleep in bunks with like 10 to 20 people. And so,
so all the bunks are in one room.
So you have cabins and then there's bunk beds like kids camp in one room.
This is
exactly like the Bachelor.
It's exactly like Paradise. Yeah. Right. Exactly like Bachelor.
I don't know what Paradise is like, but.
And so people, you know, are respectful of each other and don't hook up in the cabins or whatnot. And people, you know, have to be creative. And if you're going to, you know, make out with someone, you go behind the bunk or to the basketball court or whatnot. So again, it's very like, you know, it's very cutesy, I would say.
Do you find that there's a lot of hookups?
There are. There are.
Interesting. No, I mean, hey, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. It's great. It's a great
thing. Jared is on this hookup conversation.
It's just so interesting.
Why don't you ask him what you wanted to ask him?
All right.
Go for it.
Come on, Jared.
There's no counselors, right?
No counselors.
No counselors.
Do you guys like have a way to supply to a product supplied at camp to ensure that people are being safe?
Just.
You can say it.
You guys supply condoms.
We actually don't. We don't.
Oh, okay.
We don't.
So it's like BYOC.
BYOC.
But
that's amazing.
Again, we find that, you know, people's hookups are much simpler. It's a makeout. It's a handhold initially at the camp weekend and probably something greater thereafter. So that's why we feel like kind of, you know, it's on people if they want to do that. But usually it doesn't go that far at the camp weekend. It's usually these kind of genuine connections that are happening at the early stages here.
No, I agree. And that's why I was asking, because I would imagine this camp probably doesn't have as many hookups as people would immediately assume.
Right.
Just like because I kind of go back to The Bachelor, like we were talking about. I think everybody looks at The Bachelor and says, when you mix alcohol and good-looking people, everybody's just sleeping with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, there's actually not a lot of hookups within The Bachelor franchise, whether it be Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Paradise. And I would assume it's the same thing with this camp, where people are like, oh, it's an adult sleepaway camp. Like, everybody's just hooking up with each other. I'm like, but they're probably not.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. I mean, people come to get away, disconnect, and have a ton of fun. And you find that groups of people really connect. So like you and your cabin mates will become best friends. And that's like the bond that leaves the weekend. And then we find people like go to the LA camp, for instance, and meet their cabin mates and have tons of fun. And then after, you know, that weekend, they all live in different cities usually because people travel into our camps. So next year they'll make a reunion going to the Nashville camp or to the New York camp. And it's these like larger groups of people that kind of are the main takeaway. And sure enough, you know, certain times we will have relationships spread from the weekend, which are absolutely amazing.
So how much would a weekend like this typically cost?
On average, they're $650. And that includes everything. So when you arrive to the weekend.
Including booze?
Open bar all weekend, all the meals, all the activities.
Ooh,
all
food, now we're talking.
Yeah, all everything you can think of. So when you arrive, you literally put your cell phone and your wallet in the car, lock it up, and you don't need it.
So is that like a rule, or you guys just really push that to be like, please put your cell phones away? Or is it like, if you're coming to this camp, no phone?
In our initial like welcome speech, and I went, put your phone away more than you typically would.
Yeah,
we don't want to, those people who like love to take pictures of everything, we don't want them to feel anxiety or anything. So it's an encouragement.
Because I'm sure people want to exchange numbers and Instagram accounts.
And we do that, you know, after the weekend, we help facilitate that as well with, you know, Facebook groups and things like that.
Oh, but, so you guys help like generate actual relationships
like a matchmaking
after the camp.
Oh, totally. I mean, again, 39 people at my wedding were people that I met at Camp No Counselors. It's a really unique way where, again, you're not just superficially judging people. Who are you? What do you do? It's a real, you know, throughout the course of the weekend, you party together, you wake up hungover together, you play sports together, you do arts, if that's your thing, together, and you really see people's true colors over a 72-hour immersive experience.
Yeah, so, I think we keep, because we keep talking about, like, oh, should, you know, if someone is not as interesting on the first date or second date, and I keep coming back to this, they're not the person that they want to be on that date because they feel like they need to be a certain way to get your attention or whatever. But when you, I feel like when you're going away on a at a camp like this, you're doing the things that you love doing, so your personality naturally comes out without having like to filter it.
And your true colors really shine over that 72-hour experience. You're exhausted late in the evenings. You've partied together. How do you deal with someone who's, you know, drunk or just, you know, super exhausted? Then in the morning you're hungover together. You see someone without makeup on.
Can't handle me at my worst. You don't deserve me at my best.
And then again, you know, are they cool around mealtime? Or like, there's a lot of unique things that happen, and it's a microcosm of like a longer term relationship in this very quick, intense weekend.
And you get to see that person interacting with other people as well, which I think is a pretty big
factor
in a relationship.
And making friends. Can they make friends?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Instead of like just a one-on-one date. Your average age is 30.
Yep.
What's your average like percentage of male to female ratio?
56% female.
Oh, wow. So it's pretty much 50-50.
We actually used to just have general registration and anyone could buy tickets, and we were finding that it skewed well female, like 60% female. And
why
so
do you think that was?
I think that girls buy in groups.
Right.
They want to go with their group of girlfriends, and it might be one or two dudes in a smaller group. Girls plan.
Guys fly solo.
Yeah.
We sell out a lot of our camp weekends, and girls plan, so they get to get in early, and guys are like, it's already sold out. But we now sell female tickets and male tickets. And so that's kind of, we try and judge as best we can with there, but it's usually skews a little heavier female, but pretty even.
So is this a 3-night or 4-night stay?
3-night, 3.5-day. So you usually leave work at 6 p.m. on Thursday and arrive at, you know, 10 p.m. on Thursday night. We do a kind of a kickoff night with s'mores and roasting marshmallows and a whiskey tasting and around the campfire. And then the activities begin on Friday morning, go all Friday, all Saturday. And then we have a final brunch on Sunday, and you're out by 1 or so on Sunday. So it's that 3-night, 3.5-day experience.
And how many people per camp usually?
About 200, 250.
Wow.
So numbers-wise, if that's 50-50 singles and couples, it's about 125 or so singles each weekend.
That's amazing.
And the cities, as you've seen the cities here, often Boston, Chicago, Denver, Florida. I don't know, more specific than Florida. But
Central Florida.
Central Florida.
Naming all cities and then Florida.
Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, Seattle, Calgary,
yes,
Toronto.
I saw that. I was like, ching-ching.
And then
Toronto
I also noticed
too?
On your website, you have an LGBTQ in LA.
Oh,
so
nice.
You have one for non and one for LGBTQ.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Smart.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm originally from Toronto, actually. So
You're Canadian?
Ooh, you're
you didn't pick up
you
on the abouts?
I'm sorry. I was so concentrated on Jared's like WADA and his accent. You should have started with your Canadian, fellow Canadian in the house.
Yeah, Canuck. Originally from Toronto and then...
Which part of Toronto?
Right in the city, right in the mix.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And then went to college in the States and kind of have been here ever since. And so when I started doing Camp No Counselors, at the first time I could get it back to Canada, I wanted to. So we then...
Which location in Toronto?
It's near Muskoka, just north of the city. So it's a beautiful lakeside camp. It's amazing.
Did I hear that you used to be a professional hockey player?
I did.
Oh, for
what
team?
I played in the minor leagues for the Maple Leafs and the Islanders.
Oh, okay. I'm a big Bruins fan.
Bruins.
I'm from Rhode Island. So
I went to Brown.
You went to
Brown?
There
you go. Providence.
Look at that.
Look at these connections.
Connected here.
There you go.
Well, I'm air high-fiving you from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. You got connections with both of us.
Pretty cool. That's awesome. I watched the show, so even better.
You did.
Oh, sorry, guys.
This guy's the man.
So how do people sign up? Where do they go?
CampNoCounselors.com.
Simple enough.
Yep.
And when's your next, where's the next location and when is it?
So we've got one coming up May 17th, this weekend, 2 days from now in New York. And then we have one in New York and LA on the May 31st weekend.
Amazing. Well, this sounds
great.
Really interesting.
I'm going to do this. I'm totally going to go to this
You're
camp.
More than welcome to come, guys. It's
yeah.
a It's a hoot.
I saw that there was like a first look about it, and I saw that Chad from the show was
Yes,
there.
He did.
He did.
Chad from Bachelor?
He came for like an afternoon to shoot a first look piece on it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that like, we should just bring like a bunch of Bachelor people and do this camp.
Like, I'm down. I haven't done Paradise, so this will be my version of Paradise.
That's it, and trust me, you'll enjoy it a lot
okay.
more.
Are you high-fiving me? Was that high-five?
I talk with my hands a lot, but we can high-five too.
Okay, I got excited.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for coming in. This was great. And how can everybody find you as well?
I'm Adam Tischauer. So you can Google me and obviously Camp No
Do
Counselors. Check out the hashtag Camp No Counselors. So you can really see what the campers are seeing rather than like our beautiful pictures on our webs. Go right to the source.
What's the Instagram handle?
At Camp No Counselors.
Okay. So everything. Check out the Instagram handle and the hashtag. And then I also saw on YouTube there was a couple of like promotional videos.
Oh, yeah. We've got some great videos on YouTube that really showcased.
That's when I saw it and I was like, I need to find out more about this camp. Once I saw that promo video, I was like, this is going to be very interesting. Well, Adam, thank you for so much coming in.
Thank you so much,
my
fellow Canadian.
My pleasure, guys. Hopefully we'll see you at camp.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right. So on the line with us, we have Allison Kaz, who is casting a new TV show. I have so many questions about this show. Allison, how are you?
Hi, Allison.
Hi guys. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
So Allison, tell us a little bit about this new show you're casting for.
So it's actually an incredible show, and it's for Fox. And we are looking for women and men who are in their like mid-30s, early 40s, at a place in life where they are really ready to start a family. Like, they've checked off all their other boxes. You know, they've got the career, they've got the friends, they've got the family, they've got the success. You know, and when I say family, I mean like they have family support. You know, they have the whole package, and now they're looking to complete it.
So wait, are you looking for one specific person, or are you looking for a number of single women and single men?
We're ultimately looking for one single woman to lead the series who, like I said, like she has done things maybe what society considers or used to consider backwards or unconventional. You know, it's like you don't necessarily like have a kid when you're 20 and you figure out who you are and you get all your ducks in a row and you work on your career and you work on yourself and you're this entire package now. And you're looking around and you're like, where is he?
So I'm assuming this is an unscripted show.
This is an unscripted dating series.
And then how long, if I can ask, how long is filming? Like, how long does this woman get to know some of these men?
We are going to be filming for up to 2 months.
Oh, okay. So it's like very similar to The Bachelorette and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's really a unique format because I think, you know, so many times people, you know, it's like the script on dating has changed a little bit, you know, where it's like there's so many choices, as you guys know, and the whole like dating swiping thing for, you know, once you're in your 30s and even early 40s, you're so done with it, you know. And
girl,
like,
tell me about it.
I know. Vanessa and I are both done with it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what's your alternative? You know, so it's like, where do you meet all these great people who are in the same place in life that you are, that are really ready to start a family? And, you know, time is of the essence, because the reality is when you're a woman, the older you get, you know, you have this biological clock. And I know people hate that term, but it's like the facts are the facts. And, you know, as women, you know, they're empowered more and making a choice. And a lot of women are having a child on their own, you know, and more power to you if you decide to go down that route. You know, we are really looking for those people that are at that place in their life where they're like, you know what, this is what I want. I know who I am, and I'm looking for a quality person that I'm not only attracted to and inspired by, but, you know, wants the family and the whole thing.
So what's the premise of the show? So Bachelor, you get engaged at the end of it. This show, do you get married? And how does, I don't understand what the end result of the show is.
I think the end result for everyone is that there's an actual love connection, you know, and that you complete your love story one way or the other, you know. And then in your perfect world, you know, you get pregnant by the time, you know, the show airs or within your own timeline. No, you know, I think it's not so much that. I think it's just that, you know, this is something that's really important to you and you really want to kind of go down that lane. So, you know, having a child at some point in the foreseeable future is something that a lot of women want.
Well,
they want, you know, but they're not going to do it with the wrong guy. So it's not a show where you're coming on necessarily to get pregnant. That's not the show. It's actually you're looking for somebody who wants the same things in life that you do.
Well, I think that's what the interesting concept is, because especially a lot of women who are in their, you know, mid to late 30s or early 40s, obviously the biological clock is ticking, as my cousin Vinny would say. And so that is a valid question to say it's almost now or never. Where guys, it's far different. We can kind of have kids at almost any age. And so I do think that's an interesting concept for the show, of being like, listen, if you are tired of going on these online dating apps, if you've been doing it for years and you are at that age where it's almost now or never for having kids, like, you should nominate yourself or have somebody nominate you for this show to see if that you can find a guy who's already for the same thing.
Well, I have a question, Allison. In terms of casting, if someone like, if I were to have, I know a perfect person in mind right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, he fits the you know, everything. She's smart, she's attractive, she's successful, she's single. But I wouldn't want to put my friend on the show if there isn't a form of matchmaker involved that could find the ultimate, her perfect match.
Yes.
So do you have that?
Yes, good question. And there's a lot of, like, the creative part that I can't talk about for obvious reasons.
Right.
But what I will say is that the sort of men are catered to the women in a big way. So the short answer to your question is yes.
Yes. Okay.
So you're going to...
You know, so, I mean, we are really looking for sort of the diamond in the rough and the gem for men and women both.
So I'm assuming that you want to find the woman first, and then you're going to cast the men according to her wants and needs?
Yes. We are finding the woman, and then we are casting the men.
Perfect.
Okay. So
and, you know, I think it's interesting. You guys brought up a good point, too. You know, I think it's like once you hit, like, mid-30s, you know, men are labeled as commitment phobes if they haven't been married or engaged at that point, you know, and women are labeled as, like, workaholics up to that point. And the reality is like, there's this huge gray area of you're neither of those. You just haven't met him or her. Like, you're the whole package, you know. You figured out who you are, and for one reason or another, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I also think... you know, for the women who, like you said, didn't go the traditional way and didn't get married in their early 20s and wanted to figure out their career path and, you know, have stable income and not have to rely on their significant other financially or anything. I think that's, I admire those qualities in a woman. So, yeah, it is unfortunate that there's a stigma and that there's some sort of stereotype that's attached to you know, women or men who are in their mid or late 30s. And I think for me, like, I mean, yeah, okay, I'm dating someone, but I think for me, as I'm getting older, I just turned 30, in a couple months I'll be 31, and I'm like...
You don't look a day over 25, Vanessa.
Oh my God, Jared, tell me that again.
You don't look a day over 25, Vanessa.
You know, but I do get worried. I'm like, okay, well, what if, like, this doesn't work out, and then I'll be 32, and by the time I actually find someone and figure out if we are a good match, I'll be 33, and then you start doing the timeline, and as a woman, it gets scary, because you're like, okay, should I start freezing my eggs now? Should I start considering that process? Are you looking for someone as the lead, for the female lead, to be open to those sorts of topics?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's interesting. It's a conversation that hasn't fully happened in the public. Like you said, like the whole freezing your eggs and when do you do it, and is it appropriate, and does that scare men if they know you've done that? You know, like, there's all of these things that, like, are culturally taboo, and you start talking to women, and the more that you talk to them, so many have, or they've considered it, or they started going down their journey, or they know somebody who has, and it's all really interesting, and I also think it's all, you know, food for thought and something that people should be talking about, because it's like you've done all these other things, you know, and you know who you are as a person. So it's you're so much more well-rounded now.
Why do you think the topic of freezing eggs would cause a male to be a little nervous?
Would you be scared, Jared?
No, that's why I was asking, because I wouldn't be nervous if I went on a date with somebody who was 33, 34, and they were like, I just froze my eggs. And be like, no, that makes sense. If you want kids, you know, I understand why, if you haven't met that right person yet.
But if I feel like if I'm saying that, it's because I'm saying, like, hey, dude, I'm freezing my eggs, or I'm in the process of freezing my eggs. What, you know, like,
well,
do you want to have kids?
Yeah, I wouldn't bring it up.
No, I'm not saying do you want to have kids with me, but do you want to have kids, period?
Oh,
that would
of course.
Be, because I dated someone who didn't want to have kids. Mm-hmm. I only found out 2 years down the line.
Ooh.
So now it's like, unfortunately, I've become so scared of it. So maybe that's why I scare people away. But I want to know at the beginning, do you want to have a family? Because that's like, that's something that I'm not going to negotiate on. I'm not going to rob myself of motherhood to be with someone that I love. Unfortunately, you know, I think I could find that love and I could find that love that's going to want to have babies with me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it might scare men away a little bit just for the fact if they are afraid of commitment. And then obviously, if you bring up kids early on, that's a very big commitment. So that could cause some fear within a guy, but I don't think it makes me nervous.
And I also think, you know, men may think you're not necessarily dating them for the right reasons, or that you're
right,
you know, only into them because you want to have kids. And the reality is like, you know, most great women are not, they're not settling just to have a child with some guy.
Absolutely.
You know, they want the right one. But yeah, it is a conversation that hasn't really become mainstream yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even I said as a guy, I want kids, but more importantly, I want kids with the right person.
Yeah,
because obviously that, you know, makes and breaks everything. So Allison, if people want to be on this show, male or female, where should they go and what should they do?
Our website is lovestorycasting.com, spelled out LOVE storycasting.com, and fill out an application, and that's it. It's that simple. You know, we are scouring the country looking for, like, the best men and women who are at that place in their life. You know, they're in their mid-30s, early 40s, and smart, successful, attractive, and at the core really wanting to have a family.
Perfect.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I could submit someone right now if I...
I think you should. When does... how long are you casting
for? That's the thing
for?
Is everyone knows someone. Everyone's like, oh, I got the perfect girl, or I've got the perfect guy, or you have to talk to this person, and you know, they just broke up with their girlfriend, or they're tired of dating, or, you know, or they've worked on their career. Everybody kind of has that someone that they're thinking about, which is largely why the show was created. We are casting for the next month.
Perfect. Yeah, and I think anybody who's listening who either has somebody in mind or wants to apply for themselves, you should 100% do it. Because, one, what's the worst that can happen? And two, because I feel like people always bring that up. Like, people are like, oh, I've always thought about, you know, nominating myself for The Bachelor, but I never have. And it's like, why? Just, what's the worst that can happen? Take the chance. You always miss 100% of the shots you never take. So, well, Allison, I'm super excited to watch this new show. I'm very excited about hopefully Vanessa nominates someone, and hopefully
that'd be exciting.
That'd be great.
So, oh, my God. That would be great. It'd be great for any of your guys' listeners that are out there that really are at this place in life. And, you know, why not? That's my theory of, if you're a great person and you want these things at the core, then why not? You know, love has been found on TV many, many times before, you know, and you've got a lot of people that are looking out for you.
Totally. Well, male or female, any of our listeners, if you're out there and you know somebody, please nominate them. Allison, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. This was great.
Thanks, Allison.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Bye.
You said you would choose. You don't want to be with a man.
No, I didn't say choose.
Okay, well, that's the question.
Chicka. What? Rewind. I said.
That was pretty good. You should do that more often. Chicka. What?
No. I said. Wait, what did I say? Now I'm talking with my
parents. Where
aunts.
Am I?
That you don't want to be with a guy that doesn't want kids.
Definitely not.
Would you choose the kid over the guy? Would you have a child?
I would have a child on my own.
Yeah.
If I could.
You
Absolutely.
Would. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not at that point in my life right now where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a kid on my own. I'll give myself like a couple of years and, you know, until I'm, I don't know what age. But yeah, obviously that's, you know, a conversation that I have had with my friends who are in their 40s and are in the process right now of having a kid on their own. And I have actually a friend of mine who did have a kid on her own. And I remember her telling me like, oh, Vanessa, you don't need anyone to have a baby with. And I'm like, well, I don't want to have that mentality where it's like, oh, like F men, you know, because I'm like, no, I think there are great guys out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm in LA right now, but I feel like in every path that you take in life, there is someone out there for you. I don't believe that there's, I don't know what your take is on this, because you've been with your wife for 21 years, but I feel like
that's
there
awesome.
Are, I know. Every time. Let's just cut every time we say
every
that.
Time.
21.
Deserves
21.
It.
I just feel like there's more than one soulmate out there for you. And I don't like to believe that there's one specific, because that means the first love of my life was my soulmate, and then I'm never going to find my soulmate again?
I go back and forth on this because logically, you know, I'm one of those guys that thinks that there's aliens out there somewhere because there's an infinite number of planets out there. So you think with 6 billion people on the planet, it's silly to think that you could only make it work with one person. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, my wife and I have these stories where we kept crossing paths before we actually met.
So and how so about...
It, it seemed like we were being pushed together by the universe, you know? So that kind of makes me wonder.
So how about we phrase it, the way I would say it is that you can find love with multiple people, but maybe there is only one person that you can have a soulmate. Like, so maybe you can find love with multiple people and it's good and it's great, but maybe there's only that one soulmate out there. I don't know. Because it is interesting because I think about the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it almost dilutes the idea of finding that one person by saying, well, I think I have more than one soulmate.
Well, so then it's also, it comes
down. It's hard.
It comes down to like, oh, well, I think this is it. So I have to marry. It comes down to, I don't want anyone or myself to feel like I'm settling because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, well, now I'm 32 and I found someone and he has to be my soulmate because I'm 32. And, you know, it's like, no, I want to make sure that he is the right person. I come from a family. My parents are divorced and I'm probably going to get emotional right now because I have insomnia. They've been divorced for 11 years. But to me, you know, I come from such a traditional family. It was a pretty big deal for me. Now they're both in great relationships and, you know, they have a good relationship with each other. I have a great relationship with my parents. But in my head, once you're married, you know, that was my mentality mm-hmm. when I was younger. I don't know where I'm going with this. But anyway, back to settling again. I just don't want to ever feel like I don't ever want to feel like I'm settling.
You were, if I'm doing the math correctly, maybe in college when your parents?
Yes, I was 18.
And that was a hard thing, I imagine.
I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to say the wrong things, but I just feel like when you get older, you're more implicated in the process. So it's a lot harder because you can't shy away from procedure of the divorce, you know?
A lot harder to separate? Is that?
It's a lot harder. I feel like it was harder for me to deal with as opposed to my brother who was 8 years younger at that age. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it wasn't hard on my brother. It was, but I think it was harder on my sister and I, you know, just because like we were a very traditional Italian family and it was kind of unheard of. And and the thing is, it's like I'm not opposed to divorce at all. My mm-hmm. parents are so much happier now, and I, you know, they're in a happier place. I'm in a happier place, and everyone is in a much healthier relationship. But all this to say, I think when I was 18, I felt like I was a very like la di da di da, rainbows and butterflies, nothing can hurt me, and then boom,
and the world
my parents got divorced,
you in the
and
face.
I was like, what the boop, mm-hmm. and then reality hit, and I'm like, okay, now I know. I became very independent. I was always very independent, but I became even more so independent. And I always knew I didn't want to financially, emotionally, mentally ever depend on anyone. But that's not to say that I'm a robot. I just, you know, I feel like I'm very lovable.
I think it's about balance.
I think.
I mean, when you are one, yes, you are very lovable.
As I'm like looking at Jared for some reassurance.
Of course you're lovable. You should never doubt that. But I think also in your case, it's just about balance. Like you want that, you want that level of independency, but you also want that level of being able to surrender yourself to mm-hmm. another human being.
Yeah.
And that's a very fine line.
I like that line. Yeah.
It's a very fine line to navigate, and it's difficult. It's really uh-huh. hard, which is why dating is difficult and relationships are hard
dating
and you
sucks.
Have to work at it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a balance because I think a lot of times, I think also we're the first generation, or at least like in the past 30 to, you know, 20, 30, 40 years maybe, where we're marrying because we're finding our soulmates. You know, it used to be just formulaic. You know, a woman would marry a man mm-hmm. because he's got a good job, he's a good man, and this is the way it happens. I start having kids and a family because this is what my mom did and her mom before her, and you know, so on and so forth. And you just end up staying together because nobody gets divorced. You don't
right.
get divorced.
Miserable or not, you just stay together.
Exactly. And so I think we're like kind of the first generation where it's like, no, that's not how life works. That's not how relationships work, and that's really not how marriage works. And so I think a lot of people are, obviously the divorce rate is going up because people are like, no, I'm not happy. This is not what I'm looking for. People are getting married later in life because they're not looking for just marriage anymore. They're looking for their soulmate. And we're really the first generation to ever start doing that. So I think we're also kind of treading water here mm-hmm. ourselves and really kind of figuring out how this all works. And you know, it's not easy, and help, I suck at dating, but
Are your parents together?
My parents are still together, but they certainly had some difficult times. They've been married for over 30 years, 33, I believe
wow.
now. Yeah, it's incredible. But it's very interesting because I've always been an advocate that love changes. You know,
absolutely.
You have this puppy sure. love infatuation yeah. early on, and then some things will happen that you you know, try to overcome together as a couple. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. But I think, especially early on in the relationship, like people just, if one thing goes wrong, they immediately go to, this person's not my soulmate, mm-hmm. because if this was wrong, then it's not meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I really don't like that way of thinking, for the simple fact that there's always going to be things that go wrong in the relationship. And there are going to be bad times. There are going to be times where you question your relationship. That doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean that you can't work through it. But it's just going to happen. And so I always firmly believe that, like, once those obstacles start hitting you as a couple and there's, you know, times of turmoil, if you're able to overcome that and move past that, then that's when, like, the real relationship starts. And that's when, like, yes, you might have loved each other before, but, like, there is a different type of love. Mm-hmm. And I look at my parents for that. Like, my parents had, they were madly in love when we were kids, and I had the best home and the best parents. They're just incredible, incredible people.
And I want to add that I had the best childhood, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, because I don't want people to think that, you know, it wasn't.
No, it sounds like it came out of the blue when you were 18.
Yeah. 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 Well, also because I was, you know, a little bit like, yeah, nothing could ever go wrong. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, but just because people get divorced doesn't mean that it's a bad home or bad parents. Mm-hmm. You were obviously very loved. They brought you up very well. They brought up a wonderful human being that I'm grateful Aww. Sitting next to at this podcast. And so
many compliments today, Jared. I missed you last week.
That's right. And so, you know, with my parents, I saw, of course, there'd be fights and there'd be bad yeah. times and, like, disagreements. And then I think now, especially as I've gotten older and we've moved out and it's been years since I've lived at home, my sister's lived at home, that, like, I have seen a certain type of love that my parents displayed towards each other that I never saw as a kid. Aww. For the simple fact that, like, they had those hard times and there was a lot of obstacles and they overcame them together and it wasn't easy. Yeah. And there were times where, you and know, even as a kid, I questioned, like, what was going to happen. But now they have just this certain type of love and dependency on each mm-hmm. other that is something that most people will never get to experience.
And I think there's so much beauty in rediscovering your relationship.
Oh, it's so beautiful to even watch. I've been, you know, there my entire life, and I've mm-hmm. seen them rediscover, not to rediscover love, because I don't want to say they ever not loved each other, but, like,
a different type of love, though.
Exactly, a different type of love, where now it's just, my parents could never imagine a life without each other.
Oh, I love hearing that.
It's so true, though.
Do, like, you feel that way, too?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like, yeah. That's why I proposed, because it was laughable to think of a life without her, and that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like we rediscover each other, because we have two kids, and so you get caught up in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, Allie's sick. Brooklyn broke her ankle last week, which was a drag. Yeah, that's true. So much going on. There's school stuff, and tonight there's an award ceremony we got to go to, and Thursday night there's a track dinner, and there's always stuff going on, and you're just moving. But if we ever get away by ourselves, we went to Toronto last summer, and it's immediate. We're immediately
That's beautiful.
Young again, and pre-kids again, and it's like, this is what it was always like, and it's so wonderful to get back to that.
So I have a question. Valentine's Day, Will Smith put out this video talking about love and how to make a relationship, a marriage work and a relationship work. And I thought his thought process on marriage and relationships was so interesting and so true. Do you feel this way? So he was saying how two people, when they are together, they're on two individual paths, that every now and then they come together and meet up, but they don't, like, their paths will cross, but they're parallel to each other. It's not like one overlaps another path. Because I feel like sometimes, you know, when I was younger and I was in relationships, I would kind of let go of the things that I was really passionate about to kind of, like, help and focus on the things that my boyfriend at the time was doing. And I kind of lost a piece of my identity because of the relationship that I was in. And now as I'm getting older, I'm like, oh, I love who I am. I love what I do. I you know, I love to work. I love being creative. And I want to have someone who is by me doing their own thing. And at the same time, we're encouraging each other to succeed and you know, mm-hmm. to be each other's cheerleaders.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think a lot of moms have a hard time with that, because especially if they stay at home, like Amy stayed at mm-hmm. home from the time my first daughter was born to the time my second daughter started elementary school, she stayed home with them. And that's when you...
And that is even harder than a full-time job.
Yes.
My mom was... Oh. Yeah, my mom stayed home for 6 years.
100%. And that's when you... I think a lot of moms, not, I mean, to speak for moms, but I feel like they start to feel like they're losing that identity. Because
absolutely.
Who am I? And then it's been great. Ever since the kids are back in school, Amy is now, she's teaching group exercise and she's teaching PE at the kids' school. And so she's got her own thing going on. And I think that's healthier for everybody, is to have your own thing and be so encouraging of mm-hmm. each other's paths and dreams and mm-hmm. hopes. And
Absolutely.
It's a long road. That's the thing. It's a very long road.
Yeah. But yeah. I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's the best.
Oh, totally.
I'm such a hopeless romantic.
No, it's not an easy road, but it's also a wonderful road.
Well, some of our listeners need some help.
Well, let's
perfect. Roads. Well, we're here to help.
Kelsey is 26. She says, my ex-girlfriend and I broke up about 2 weeks ago, but we have a trip planned for New Orleans at the end of the month. I wanted to cancel the trip, but she says, no, we can still go as friends. For reference, the breakup was my doing. We've been off and on for a long time, almost 5 years, both of us dating other people here and there, and I just wasn't feeling the connection anymore, especially because we live 3 hours away and are both pretty settled. I'm still considering canceling the trip because I think it would complicate things, but the fact that she really seems to want to make this work as friends makes my decision hard. We've been in each other's lives for so long. Maybe she does just want to be friends. Should I go on the trip? Help, I suck at dating and apparently not dating as well.
I love that last night. Okay, well, I want to say this, Kelsey. I'm a huge advocate of when I end or when a relationship ends for me, I like to give myself space and time to heal and process and forgive myself and forgive the other person and not hold any resentment. And then with whatever time I feel like I need, I'm okay with remaining friends with that person. I'm, for the most part, on really good terms with a lot of my exes and speaking terms. And like, if they ever need me for anything, I will be there for them. This to me sounds a little, I don't know. I feel like it's a little too soon.
The breakup's still fresh. Yeah. It's only been 2 weeks. It's hard to really go on vacation.
Get there.
Especially if you're going on vacation with just the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only been 2 weeks and you're the one who broke up with her. I don't know. I think your ex-girlfriend might be kind of clinging on a little bit if she really wants to go on this vacation with
you. This is her Hail Mary.
Yeah.
If I can get her to come, I can fix this. I can make this work.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
She'll do it as friends, but then she's going to make a move at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you know that this is the end of your relationship, then do yourself and her the favor of not going and giving her false hope. Because if I were that girl, I'd be like, oh my God, I know I'm going to get her back. Like, you know, I'll be able to do this. I would be like, no, if I know this is the end of our road, then I would not go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what Vanessa said. Like, I'm a big advocate with being friends with your exes. Having said that, there has to be some sort of line and border between that, you know, because it's only fair to, you know, yourself and hopefully your future partner. And also, like, within this vacation, if you go on vacation with her, there could be, like, a really uncomfortable moment where if, you know, your ex-girlfriend does, like, really throw up a Hail Mary, so to speak, and then you're in New Orleans together and you have to spend the entire weekend there or however long you're going. I don't know. It just, if you know that it's done and you only want to be friends and you only broke up with her 2 weeks ago, it does feel that she might be clinging on to something. So I'd probably cancel it. It'd be hard. It's not going to be easy, especially if she's just saying, I only want to be friends with you, but
don't go unless there's a part of you that kind of wants this to get back together.
Yeah,
exactly.
Rachel says, I love your podcast because I suck at dating.
Oh, Rachel.
We all do.
I'm 19 years old and have not dated anyone or ever had my first kiss.
Girl, I was 18 when I had my first kiss.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which has recently had a major effect on my self-confidence. I don't know why I can't find anyone to date like all my friends can, and I'm tired of living the lonely life. Should I start looking at dating apps or should I keep the hope that I'll meet someone the old-fashioned way? I recently started talking to someone I went to high school with, but I doubt anything will come of it. Again, I love the podcast.
Aw, thanks,
well, thank
Rachel.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for emailing us.
Listen, I was a late bloomer.
So was I. We both were.
In a lot of ways. But, yeah. So I...
Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah,
no.
I was going to expand on that. Story. I was like, no, I don't know what that means, so I'm not even going to dive down
no,
that road.
No, I mean, I was... I was a virgin for a very long time.
You don't want to say the age?
Until like my early 20s.
Okay.
And I didn't have a first kiss until, well, hold on. I wasn't 18. I was in secondary five. I have to do the math. Like the last year of high school is your how old?
I mean 17 turning
17.
18.
Yeah. Okay. So that was my first kiss. My first like big love at the time where I thought I knew what love was. But, you know, great relationship. Didn't end up working out. But we're still friends. So I say, like, you're 19.
So
I'm 30. I'm turning 31, and I still haven't figured it out. Girl, I got engaged. We got unengaged. You have so much time ahead. If I can go back and tell 19-year-old Vanessa not to worry, I would tell her, girl, go out, have fun, figure out what you want to do with your life. Go make mistakes. You know, you're going to get your heart broken. I keep getting my heart broken and I'm you know, it's, I feel like there is hope for you. If you want to meet someone the old-fashioned way, go for it. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm all for meeting people through friends and family. Obviously, if you want to do some dating apps, who am I to say, went on The Bachelor to find love?
Of course. So, Rachel, yeah, I also think, like, I think you should absolutely go on dating apps because you're so young. You're only 19. I lost my virginity at 19 as well. I was a late bloomer. I didn't have my first kiss. I had my first kiss sophomore year of high school.
What's that? I don't know what sophomore is.
I'm
Canadian. Hello.
14, 15?
Oh, you were 15. Young.
15, 15,
okay,
I think.
15. Okay, fine.
And so, actually, she kissed me. I didn't even kiss her. It was I'm such a pathetic loser. but, Rachel, you're so young. I'm so much time. And I also think, like, one, you should totally go on dating apps because why the hell not? Everybody wants to meet the old-fashioned way.
Use Instagram as a dating app.
But yeah, there's nothing wrong with also just going on a dating app and just kind of, like, you know, going out, putting yourself out there. You never know what's going to happen. You could still meet somebody the old-fashioned way, even if you're on a dating app. And then furthermore, I also think, like, when you say, I recently started talking to someone I went to high school, but I doubt anything will come with it. Don't think of it that way. You don't know what's going to come from it. You know, it could be good, could be bad, but at least keep the option open. Don't, like, already poo-poo it before you even think.
Poo-poo it.
I love that phrase. I'm going to bring it back. Just, you know, before anything even comes from it, if anything comes from it, you know, just keep an open mind.
Well, I want to say, whatever you want in life, throw it out there to the universe.
If you're
giving, yeah, if you're giving negative energy to the universe will respond back to that. So keep an open heart. I wanted to say something else, but I forgot. You're going to find a girl. Oh, yes. I want to say, don't, if you look at your friends who are in relationships, and I, you know, at one point too, I was like, oh my God, a lot of my friends are married and have babies and they have that. But doesn't mean that someone, whatever someone has that you don't have, does not mean that they're any happier.
Mm. Exactly.
Well put.
That's today's society. That's the social media. You know, everybody on Instagram looks like they're so happy and in love and everything's great in their life. And then behind the screen, they're actually just as insecure.
Rachel.
And sad as you
really
are.
Really true.
Not that you're sad, but you know what I mean. Like,
she does seem a little sad in this email.
Yeah.
Totally. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's, like, we all have our own things. And so, Rachel, keep going. You're going to be fine. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Don't let that get you down.
Yeah. Some
other friends are dating people. It doesn't mean they're happy. It doesn't mean anything.
And I always say this. Exactly. Like, yeah. And if you're feeling a certain way, there's probably, like, millions of other. I always tell myself, you know, like, oh, why me? Like, no. You know, why me plus millions of other people going through the same thing? Mm-hmm. So.
And to bounce off your point about, like, asking the universe, totally, like, put what you want out there, ask the universe, and let go of how it comes to be. Like, a lot of people, you say, like, oh, I want to meet someone the old-fashioned way. Well, what happens if you do meet the love of your life on an online dating app? Is that bad? Because I don't think so. Like, you could potentially meet somebody that you are so in love with online. And, like, so just put yourself out there and let go of how that comes to be.
Right,
because, like, if you get it, who cares?
We were talking about how the universe was kind of pushing my wife and I together. Give the universe as many opportunities as possible to push you towards that person.
Yeah. There's always doors opening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think the best advice that you guys said was 30-year-old Rachel, 40-year-old Rachel, 50-year-old Rachel can look back and would love to say to 19-year-old Rachel, it all worked out just perfectly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly how it was supposed to.
Oh, so Jared, you know, like every once in a while, well, I've been starting to do this. I go live on Instagram before doing a podcast, either like a day or two before, just to get, like, to see what people have in terms of questions. And I wrote, wait, I had two. I wrote one down as I was cooking.
I'm nervous.
Where did I put it?
Oh, you lost it. Too bad.
Well done. No, wait. Oh, yeah. What do you think of open relationships? What's your take on open relationships?
Open relationships. What are my take on open relationships? I mean, one, an open relationship has to be open on both parties.
Absolutely.
But I also don't think that, like, if you believe in, you know, if you don't believe in monogamy, then go for it. Like, I don't really pass judgment on anybody who, like, if they are swingers or whatever.
Sorry,
you want to call
it. I didn't mean it like that.
I'm confused.
Would you be open to?
Here I am on the podcast talking about swingers.
Well, I was asking Camp No Counselors if there's swingers on his camp.
And I asked
him
if they supply condoms.
I mean,
we're good.
Team.
We're good
great
at our
team.
Job.
Great
That's
team.
It, baby.
Oh, now I'm giving you a high five. There,
high five. Yeah.
No, are you? Would you be open to an open relationship?
Would I be open to, in terms? Well, I think there's a couple different things there. One, I think an open relationship people could interpret as early on in the relationship, like we've talked about. Like, do you still go on dates with other people?
So I will say I've never been in an open relationship.
Yeah, like I remember
even
you saying
if
you're
one
you are,
date in, you're not.
Yeah, you're 0 to 100, which is good, though, because you really, I think it's a very good mindset to have focused, like focus on one relationship and then put my effort into that. And if it doesn't work out, then I move on. Because I do think that a lot of people just kind of like they have like, you know, their eyes going all over the place. Be like, oh, well, I'm kind of going on a date with this person, but then next Friday I'm meeting up with this person, then Saturday I'm meeting up with this person. And it's like, well, how can you really give any of them a chance if you're like going on 3 dates and 4 nights? And so in terms of like after commitment, and you guys talk about having an open relationship, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as you're both open and communication is there and you guys talk about, hey, like, we're kind of, you know, open to the idea of being with other people. Yeah. I guess I'm, you know,
I feel like there's someone for, I keep saying this, there's someone for everyone. I remember people saying like, oh, Vanessa, you're too like, you know, you're too stubborn with what you want. I'm like, no, I don't feel like I'm stubborn with what I want. I feel like what I want is out there. And when I find that person, it'll just make sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. So
anyway, oh, and then I have another, what do you think of poop talk?
Poop talk?
Yeah.
I'm all...
Are you open to poop talk?
So I got to be honest. So when I was... I dated this girl a while ago for like 4 years, and I had a really difficult time farting in front of her.
What?
Honestly, I almost...
Usually it's the reverse.
And so even to this day, I have a difficult time because I want the girl I'm with to always find me sexy. I know. Listen, please...
I'm sorry.
Don't listen to this next segment because I am a psycho when it comes to this, but like I just... smell is very... Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if she farts in front of me. She used to fart in front of me. I don't really care. It's, you know, it's whatever. You're in a relationship. It happens. It's just the way your body works. But
listen,
for some
reason, I
have a hard time.
Like, I'm a very gassy person.
Yeah.
So I cannot date someone if I cannot talk about poop or fart or... to me, that's the sexiest thing. Just being like... just being yourself.
Totally.
Not the sexiest thing.
I find it funny. Okay, fine. It's not sexy, but I find it so funny. I'm like a kid. I'm like,
oh, totally.
If someone is burping or farting, I'll be like, like clapping and like rating their farts and rating their burps.
I could care less if a girl talks about it. I love it. I'll talk about it too. I'll talk about poop and whatever, but like for some reason, like the actual act of
farting?
I'm like, I need some space. I need like my time alone to do this. This is like me just smelling up the joint. So like, let me be for a little while. And then I'll put some cologne on and I'll come back to you.
See, that's when I know the person's not for me. If I'm too shy to poop, not pooping.
Are you a door open person?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, my.
I will FaceTime you while I'm on the bowl. TMI.
Interesting. Oh,
thank you for listening to the
whole
podcast.
For the people
podcast,
who are wondering why.
Thanks for making it all the way an hour and 28 minutes.
I mean, that's
it.
Great. Honestly, like,
Jared,
nauseous? That's like couple goals right there. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Those are my best relationships, by the way. The ones where I'm just like, we can just, I don't know. And everyone, my family and friends who know me, they're like, have you guys like talked about poop yet? I'm like, yeah. They're like, all right, he's staying for long. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
So they need to have
poop talk.
They
want like,
to have kids. They have to have, you know, your guys need to want to have kids. They need to be able to talk about poop.
Poop.
I think that's it, right?
I think we're going to add to this list as the weeks go by.
Yeah, totally. Well, perfect. Well, thank you guys for coming in. First of all, thank you for the venture capitalist, Jesse Draper, for coming in. You can find her on Instagram at Jesse C. Draper. She also hosts a podcast right here on iHeartRadio with our own Ben Higgins. It's called The Lady Bosses and Ben. It's coming soon to iHeartRadio, so definitely tune into that. I also want to thank Adam Tishauer, from Camp No Counselors. If you do... I'm telling you, you should really check out this camp. It sounds incredible. I'm super excited to go check it out this summer. You can go check it out, campnocounselors.com, to find all the dates, the cities that they're hosting it in, or you can go on Instagram at campnocounselors. That's their Instagram handle. Thank you again for the casting director, Allison Kaz. If you know anybody that is in their early, mid to late 30s, early 40s, woman seeking family, wants kids, you can go to lovestorycasting.com. They'll be perfect for this new dating show they're putting on Fox. So definitely check that out. Thank you again for Allison Kaz coming on. Thank you, Brooke Linen. You get $20 off and free shipping. You go to brooklinen.com. You use promo code HELP. That's HELP. Brooke Linen, the best sheets you'll ever have. Vanessa, you really need to invest in that because you need a good night's sleep.
Yes, I do.
So thank you guys for listening so much. Keep the emails coming. You can email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Please, we love the emails. Best part of the show. I love hearing from you guys. Thank you guys for listening. You guys are the best fans in the world. We'll be back next week,
and
hopefully we'll suck a little less. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Dean, for not being here. Bye.
Follow Help by Suck It Dating on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.